They keep saying the final cut, Doug, the final cut, but I can't stop cutting my grass. How much longer? We'll find that out and a whole lot more. Great guest waiting as well, the organic gardener himself, Doug Oster. DougOster.com is on the air. 10th caller right now, 412-922-1020, wins a gift certificate to the wonderful family that is the Sorgles out in Wexford. So when is enough enough?
Holy cow, you came out of this thing like you're out of the... blowing out of the tunnel or something. Man, you're all energy and morning and hooray.
Yippee-i-yo.
One more cut, maybe.
Okay.
You know, cut it a little shorter than normal, but keep it up there. I had no frost this morning for me. I'm sure other people did, but...
it was cold.
Yeah, but I mean, looking at the weather, the season will continue. I do have two great guests today. In just a minute, we'll talk with Teresa Watkins. She's an author, garden designer, and host of Better Lawns and Gardens radio show in Florida. And later, I'll talk with Laura Malinger, who is one of the people behind the creation of something called the Kavod Garden. In the shape of the Star of David, Kavod is Hebrew for glory, respect, and honor. Today is the 6th anniversary of the anti-Semitic attack at the Tree of Life Synagogue, and they're going to dedicate the garden, and it's out at the Remember Me Rose Garden in Shanksville, which honors the heroes of Flight 93 and 9/11. There's a dedication out there today, and they're looking for volunteers. And so we'll talk to her about that. My free online garden classes continue Wednesday at 5 o'clock, all about trees and shrubs and my favorites. And if you're thinking about coming with me to England, see the Chelsea Flower Show and all the sights of London and the gardens of London, it's starting to fill up. So take a look at that on DougOster.com. Well, now we are joined by Teresa Watkins, and I'm so happy to bring her onto the show. She's author of 3 volumes of The Gardener's Compendium. How are you, Teresa?
I am wonderful, Doug. This is I'm loving your 55 degrees and 33 in the morning. We're still warm here in Florida, so thank you for calling me.
Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about that, but before we talk about the books, I wanted to see, how did you get into this? How did gardening become your thing?
Well, I will tell you, I was in a white-collar career, and we had some management kind of issues with a company buyout, and I was off. They let the whole company go, and I spent time with my mom, and she passed away, and I really went into a funk and couldn't get back into a white collar. So I went to work for a box store in the garden center, and it healed my whole life. It just, getting into gardening made me feel good again, and digging in the dirt, hauling mulch around and things. I really, really rejuvenated my life and went back, and I said, I can't do white collar anymore. I'm going to design landscapes.
Oh, good for you. That's awesome. Teresa knows everything there is to know about those plants in Florida and more. When I went to, I think it was Costa Rica, I was posting these pictures of these plants. I had no idea what they were, and Teresa was kind enough to help ID those for me, because I had no idea what they were. Now, let's talk about the 3 books. You wrote 3 volumes of The Gardener's Compendium. Was that a plan to do all 3, or did you do one first, or how did that come about?
Well, I actually, when I was teaching for the University of Florida for the Florida Yards and Neighbors program, I put out a newsletter, and each month I would have sayings and little tidbits, little mottos and anecdotes in it. And it just really became addictive, where I just had to find out where these stories and where these mottos and phrases came from. And especially because there's so much on the internet that's not accurate. And so, you know, there's that one phrase on the back of my book that says, Abraham Lincoln says you can't believe everything you read on the internet. And so it's I found out where these anecdotes and stories and phrases came from with the proper context. And it just became 9 volumes. So I literally have 9 in the series. I have the 4th one coming out next year, and they're all written. I just got to edit them and publish them.
Wow. So let's talk about the first one, Gardening with Life.
And so volume 1, Gardening with Life, is about birth and family, marriage, love, death, and also spirituality, everything about life that encompasses it. And the book is not a garden how-to. It's all about gardening. So every phrase, every anecdote, every story, every poem is something to do with life, with the theme of the volume one. There's stories in there that are going to make you laugh. There's stories that are going to make you cry. But also, too, the poetry and trivia and anecdotes are just wonderful to read. I love reading them, and it's a nice book for someone who writes for a newsletter or likes to send a little phrase in a card or in a text where you know who said it and where it came from.
And then volume two, Gardening in Time and Place?
It's about history and geography all around the world, different countries gardening in different kind of places, history. It also deals with Americana and politics.
And then volume three, Gardening with the Senses. That sounds amazing.
It is. It's my latest one. And it is. It's got everything. Each category, each chapter deals with hearing, taste, touch, smell, and then common sense. And they're a lot of fun to read, and I had fun putting them together.
What is the timeline for the next book? Do you know?
Hopefully next spring.
That's a lot of work, Teresa.
I'm a kind of a gardenholic. I love gardening. It just fills my senses, and I'm very passionate about it.
We have a couple minutes left, then we're going to go to a break, and then we're going to bring you back. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the hurricanes. That looked devastating down there.
It is, and it still is. My landscaper got his power back on last week. I mean, he was without power for over 10 days. And it's we had lots of rain, nearly 20 inches over a period of a few weeks with both hurricanes. And the flooding is still around in some areas. The trees, the debris is still around. We're going to be healing from this for a couple of years.
And I know there's more important things to talk about than the garden when it comes to a hurricane, but what does that do to your garden with that kind of rain and with that kind of winds and all that? What happens?
Well, it just depends on where you are. I mean, everybody thinks Florida has sand, but we have different types of sand. Some are, Myakka sand is our state soil, but it drains very well. It percolates very well. But we do have areas that have mucky sand and sands that are mesic soils with earthworms, really good organic soil. But it just depends on where you are in the state, how quickly that water percolates. And for our area, it does very well with citrus that we used to have, the citrus industry, that you need to have the water percolate very quickly.
All right, Teresa, hold on. We're going to go to a break. I'll bring you right back. We got a lot more to talk about.
And we'll be back with more with Teresa and, of course, Doug, just a couple of moments. This is The Organic Gardeners on KDKA. All right, Doug is back, as is his guest. So Teresa Watkins is here. Doug.
Yes, Teresa Watkins. She is a great author, garden designer, radio host. Tell me a little bit about the radio show, Teresa.
Well, the show is called Better Lawns and Gardens, and it's syndicated. You can hear it on podcast. It's a show where my callers call in and say, how do I fix this and what's wrong with my tree? What can I plant? And I have interviews just like you. It's a similar show for Florida like your show is.
When we're up here in the north and you heard those temperatures, we fantasize about your climate, about gardening in your climate. But there's challenges down there like there is in any gardening, right?
Of course. I mean, I have zone envy too. So I love Pennsylvania, and I love the gardens there too as well. And so, but here in Florida, we're blessed that we can garden 365 days out of the year. But then there's we have to garden and take care of it and maintain it 365 days out of the year. So it's wonderful in one aspect. I love that we do have a change of seasons here. It's only for 5 days, don't blink. But we do get cold weather here. It can be 80 degrees one day, 30 degrees the next day in the wintertime. So we do have challenges. And people think we need to water often. So there's a lot of disease issues with our humidity. So I've got job security.
And tell me a little bit about how you got into garden design.
Well, I taught, like I said, for the University of Florida, the Florida Friendly Landscaping Program. And then when I was going to my boss, my mentor at the university, decided to retire, I think I will go into something different. And I just started to design landscapes that are Florida-friendly, low-maintenance, and water-conserving. So it's the best of both worlds. And I'm, as a designer, they're beautiful. So I just love doing it. And it saves on my pocketbook. My husband's happy I'm not changing the landscape out. You know, I'm doing it for other people.
That's awesome. So let's go back to the books, because I really think they're awesome. You know, they're beautiful, and the stories are great. What did you get out of writing those three volumes?
Well, you know, what I got out of it is I am kind of a trivia nerd. I do love information. I do love reading about gardening, but I'm so busy that, you know, I have them on my nightstand in my office, and I can open them up and read and have a little bit of a relaxation. I love poetry. I love learning, and just the information. It just is fun to me. And so I, as a writer, and I have a newsletter that I get to use, that I have them all indexed, where you can look up an author, you can look up an individual person who said something, but you can also look it up by the categories of flowers and plants and trees, and then also by the emotions or the kind of sentiment you want to read about. And then they're all hashtags. So if you want to put it on the internet, you can hashtag it and get more people to read your tweets and also your Facebook posts.
So tell me about your garden. Tell me about what you love to grow and your own personal garden.
My own personal garden is that I have an English cottage garden in the front yard. I have a North Carolina themed garden in the back. And so I have a little bit of both worlds. I will tell you, there's some months that, you know, especially during spring and summer, where the cobbler's children have no shoes, then my garden gets to be free and wild. And, my clients' gardens look better because I'm taking care of those. But I don't have any grass. And that's not a good thing or a bad thing. There's nothing wrong with grass. But it is a maintenance, and I just don't have time for it. So I have a water fountains. I have beautiful, beautiful azaleas and shrubs. I love roses, and I have natives too as well, the fringe tree. And also, I grow blueberries as a hedge. So it's a little bit of everything.
A cottage garden in Florida, when we're thinking about Florida, we're not thinking of a cottage garden. That is really cool.
It is. Well, I grew up in Scotland, and I love cottage gardens. And what it is though, here in Florida, during the wintertime, what you grow in the spring, we can grow in the winter. Snapdragons, delphinium, foxgloves, hollyhocks, because of our cold weather. And so we're able to do that. But I also grow plants that are perennials and shrubs that have the kind of theme of a cottage garden. So they're Florida plants, but it looks northern. So that's one of my thrills, is I love to design North Carolina or the forest look here in Florida, because not everybody is a tropical person.
Well, Teresa, what a joy it was to have you on the show. Tell people the best way they can get the books, connect with you, and find out what you're doing.
Wonderful. Well, my company's called Sustainable Horticultural Environments, but that's too long to say. So I just say she. Who designed your landscape? She did. And so my website is she-consulting.com. And they can catch me there. They can learn about my radio show and just Google me. I'm kind of everywhere.
Wonderful. I've also got a link to Teresa's website at my site, DougOster.com. And Teresa, thanks again. It was so great to talk to you.
It's wonderful, Doug. You've got to come on my show now.
That sounds good to me. I want to do it live in Florida, though, in the winter.
Please do. Oh, please do. Come down and let me know, and you can be in the studios.
Thanks.
Doug Oster will be in the house. Okay,
thanks
great.
So much.
Thank you, Doug.
Bye. All right. Tell everybody what's coming up.
Well, we're going to talk with Lauren Malinger about this amazing garden out at the Remember Me Rose Garden. It's called a Kavod Garden. As I said, today is the 6th anniversary of that anti-Semitic attack. The Tree of Life Synagogue, they're having an event out at the Remember Me Rose Garden to dedicate this garden. We're going to talk all about how the garden came about, what it is, and how you can help.
All coming up with Doug. Stay with us on KDK. All right, let's make it the 10th caller to get that $25 gift certificate to Janoski's in Clinton. By the way, today's the final Sunday edition of Pumpkin Land, so get out there and enjoy. It begins at 10 a.m. But 10th caller right now wins that $25 gift certificate to Janoski's, 412-922-1020.
I'm joined this morning by a very special guest. Lauren Malinger is working on an amazing garden out at the Remember Me Rose Garden. Welcome to the show, Lauren.
Thank you.
So tell me the name of the garden and its purpose to be out there at the Remember Me Rose Garden.
So we're calling this the Kavod Garden, which means honor and respect. And we are honoring all the heroes of various denominations, because some of the board members have brought the cross over from the Flight 93 site. But because it's a national site, they weren't allowed to have any religious symbols. So they procured the grounds through money they received, I believe, through a documentary describing the Flight 93 event. And so they built this beautiful garden with compass rose points and flower, you know, roses, etc. And they wanted to designate another space to honor other passengers, the other heroes that had died there. So they contacted the 1027 Initiative to perhaps find some gardeners or people interested in creating, you know, an alternative garden to remember those heroes. And so they brought me in, who I'm a master gardener, Natalie Plessity, who's a landscape designer, and a couple other people kind of tagged along, Maggie Feinstein, and then we had various people coming in. And we came up with a concept of using a Jewish star, a Star of David, and a variety of plants that could withstand the 5B climate up there and being deer resistant.
So what's going on there this morning?
So this morning we are going over there about 10 o'clock, and we're going to have about a half an hour commemoration. Bill Sank and John Vento, the board members, are going to speak to the garden and its origins. Then they're going to bring me in to speak about how we created this Kavod garden and the type of plants, etc. And then we're going to have a cantor, which is a person that chants the service along with a rabbi. And she will give a benediction to the site. And then afterwards, people can stay and work in various parts of the garden.
So tell me a little bit about the nuts and bolts. What kind of plants did you put in there?
I knew you'd ask me that. We started with an ilex, which is a holly, because we needed something tough enough to withstand the climate and possibly diseases, etc. So the holly will comprise the Star of David. Then we've just filled in with various other plants, anemones. But our main concern was the 5B climate and deer resistant. And also, we were trying to go for a blue and white theme. We put in 500 plants in a 40-foot diameter. I mean, crazy, right? But it's beautiful. And, it, you know, in a year or two, it's going to be amazing.
So what does it mean for you personally to be part of this project?
I was honored to be asked to participate. And for me, it's a reach out from our community who is honoring our loved ones that perished in the 1027 at Tree of Life, and a reach out to the community that we're honoring the heroes at Flight 93.
And what do you hope that people come, when they come visit and see your garden, what do you hope they get out of that?
It'll be a place of reflection. It'll be a place to honor the unsung heroes. It's also a shirinyoko, which means a forest bathing. You come to the garden, you walk around, there's a hiking path, you see the beauty of the flowers, you breathe in the mountain air. It's a peaceful place up there. And it's a way to contemplate what our world has been and what our world could be through the beauty of the gardens.
This is one of the things that gardening is all about.
Yes.
Like you said, this reflection and remembering, this is really important. I'm really thrilled that you have that out there.
And the fact that it's called Kavod, which is honor and respect, you know, we're honoring, you know, these people.
Well, I'll have a list of all those plants at DougOster.com and all the information on how to get to this event and to see the garden. Lauren, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. And I can't wait to see the garden.
Absolutely, Doug. And the other point that I forgot to say is when flights fly over the Shanksville site, the Remember Me Rose Garden, the flight attendants do point out the compass roses, and hopefully they're going to also see the Star of David on the garden. So in a couple of years, that should be definitely a point to remember.
That's wonderful. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you should go out and check out that garden. If you can't go out today at 10 a.m., go out some other time. Not only the Remember Me Rose Garden, but also the Kavod Garden. It's wonderful. The Remember Me Rose Garden has the cross. Now we have the Star of David. And as Lauren said, when you're flying over, you can see that. And so I've been a supporter of that garden since the very beginning. It's really an amazing garden out there. And I'm glad they're adding the Kavod Garden. That is really cool. And as I said, they're looking for volunteers. So all that information is at DougOster.com about what's going on out there today and also all about the garden. And so take a look. Go out. Be nice.
Yeah, special friends, thoughts and prayers go out to everyone commemorating this day. And it is going to be a day that we're all going to remember for the rest of our lives. And again, much prayers and sympathy to our good friends of the Jewish community here in Pittsburgh. All right, listen, Doug and I are going to open the phones up now. So if you have any questions at all that you would like to get in here about gardening before the top of the hour, now would be the time. 866-391-1020. So one thing is for sure, I was talking to Trey Fulbright earlier today, meteorologist KDK Television. If you like to see the leaves this time of year, you better make it quick because they're going to be gone pretty soon.
Yeah, as it gets cold, I'm dreading this job of moving the leaves. We talk about leaving the leaves all over, but there's certain spots you can't. In my patio, you got to get the leaves off. On the trails, you have to get the leaves off.
Anything left over in the garden?
Yeah, you know, I've got all sorts of cool weather crops out there. Arugula, lettuce. I did start tearing down the tomatoes and peppers finally. I took those out. The trick I'm always talking about, and I've probably talked about the last couple of weeks, but that's what I was doing, was taking all those tomatoes, putting them in a bag, and then throwing a couple apples in there. And they say that the ethylene gas that the apple produces helps ripen the tomatoes. Now, some of the tomatoes I pulled off, they're not mature enough. We'll see what happens. A worst case scenario, it'll be fried green tomatoes. Not the healthiest meal, but once a year, it's okay. If you've never done that before, look up the recipe for fried green tomatoes. And if you got a lot of green ones left that you don't think are going to turn, that's a great way to use them. But most of those tomatoes will change. I could just see if they've gone from that bright green to just a different hue a little bit, they will make the transition. And not as good as a vine-ripened July tomato, but better than anything you'd find out there. I love eating those tomatoes later in the season. I still have a few left in there. But yesterday's job was all about planting bulbs. I did a video about bulb planting. If you've ever wondered how to make it as easy as possible, because that's the way I like to do my work, check out the video. Again, it's everything we've talked about today on the show is at DougOster.com, and including that trip to England. I'm really looking forward to that, to seeing London again. You know, we'll see all these cool gardens, and then we get out of London one day to go down and see this one called Sissinghurst, which, again, is one of my favorite places. Chelsea Flower Show. It's a gardener's paradise, but we're also seeing all these, you know, Tower of London and Westminster Abbey, all these other London sites. But I love London, and I've been very lucky to be able to see it three other times, and so I can't wait to go again. But it just feels so good to plant bulbs. The work now is just the anticipation of those spring flowers, and I got all sorts of crazy ones. And I do have another thing on the website too, where one of my favorite places, Old House Gardens, is on a big bulb sale, and I bought a bunch of stuff from them because it's 50% off. But go to your local nursery, look through the bulbs. But if you need something unique, rare, weird, Old House Gardens has it, and with great stories too.
All right, and we want to remind everyone that next hour is Cooking with Beer, your favorite recipes.
Beer?
I was going to say, you always cook with
beer.
Did
you say beer?
Beer here.
Oh.
Have you ever made any meal with beer? Like as a, like, you know, a marinade or some sort of ingredient?
Oh, yeah.
What is it?
I use it all the time. That's what I do for exploding garlic. I was taught by a chef to do exploding garlic. You get it small and you get it hot and you keep it moving for like 30 seconds and you put cold liquid on it, which I do the beer, and it makes this like explosion, and then it stops the garlic from cooking, and then you burn off the alcohol, but you have kind of a little bit of the beer taste.
Nice. All right, so that's the topic next hour. Then Metropolitan Windows, the Schmutzer family here, and then of course Accurate Solutions, and then we roll into the Coons Market Black and Gold Sunday Show. So a busy day still to come all the way until 1 o'clock. Then I'll be at Pet Fest later today in the 3 o'clock hour. My colleagues are going to be there as well throughout the day. We got Blessing of the Pets as well at 9:30. So a busy day on KDKA. All right, we're back. Doug wants to get to these calls, so let's go to Bill in West Mifflin. You're on KDK. Hi, Bill.
Good morning. I wanted to know what I should do with amaryllis bulbs. They've been in pots of soil in the house, you know, all year. So
okay, so as soon as they're done blooming, we remove the flower stalk but leave the foliage. And so, okay. Do you still have the foliage on there? Or have they dried up, or what's going on?
Some of them are dried up. Some still have foliage on them.
All right. So we basically grow them as a house plant until right about now, and then stop all watering, stop all fertilization, let them go dormant, and that green foliage, all the energy from the foliage will go into the bulb. And then all you do is let it sit for 6-8 weeks and start watering again after that. And if there's enough energy in that bulb, it'll put up a flower again. If not, you'll just get foliage, and then you'll know what to do. Just do that process again, but it'll take another 6 months, sometimes a year, to bloom.
All right, let's take one more call. Just about 2 minutes left in the broadcast. Here's Kathy on KDKA. Hi, Kath.
Hi, good morning. I have a question about a larch tree, planting one. The type of soil that it might need, should it be slightly acidic? It has a sentimental spot for me. My aunt and uncle lived in a place where there were slag dumps, and I think the coal company planted them. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot of them near their property, and I would like to plant one in my yard.
So this is a good time to plant. You just want your average garden soil is fine. Most of our soil in this area is slightly acidic, which will be perfect for it. The main thing to know is that you want to dig that hole about two times as big as the root ball, and don't plant it too deep. There's this thing called the root flare. And so you kind of brush off the where the root hits the soil, and that's your root flare. That has to be above grade. Other than that, that's all you're going to need to do to find the right place for that larch. And if you had room, I'd plant a couple of them just to be sure, since it kind of has a special place in your heart.
Okay, thank you, Doug.
Thank you.
Well, you got about a minute. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to talk again about London. It's starting to fill up. Last 2 weeks, we were halfway there. Now we're three quarters of the way there. If you'd like to come and see all these places, Chelsea Flower Show, St. Paul's Cathedral, Westminster Abbey, Tower of London, and then all the gardens, Seville Gardens, Wisley, Sissinghurst. Oh, I can't wait. Optional tour of Windsor Castle. It's just a cool place to go, and we'll see all sorts of nice stuff.
Fish and chips, lots of fish. Have you ever had? I love it.
Yeah, them. Yeah. The food is different. It's heavy.
Now, is the beer room temperature? Is it?
No, it's cold.
Nice.
But you can't find, it's just like usually kind of just a standard lager, not like I'm drinking IPAs here, so.
Do they actually serve like Budweiser over there? Or
they
Miller?
Serve anything. Yeah, you can get anything over there. It's all the same. But there is some actually amazing food in London. You just got to find it. That's all.
They always have rain though. That's a good thing.
It's sunny and wet every day. Sunny and wet.
All right. Listen. Enjoy the rest of your day and go Browns.
You had to throw that out there.
How tough is it being a lifelong Cleveland Browns fan to just watch this every single year?
It's not every year.
Well, you did have a playoff.
Yeah, it's awful. That's what it is.
Then you got rid of that quarterback.
It's awful. Remember, organic gardeners, you make our world brighter and safer with each seed you sow and every garden you grow. Go Browns.
And listen, I got Rob Taylor who can't wait for Ohio State to beat Penn State again next weekend. Now, were you ever into Ohio State?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Same thing here. The Ohio State University.
They won yesterday, so it's going to be a good game next week. All right, stay with us. News next.